We've been in a series called The Role of the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit in this way. We said it was the Holy Spirit who done it. And we looked at Jesus' life and ministry and what happened before he was 30 years old. Before that, but after that, when he was baptized in water and the Holy Spirit came upon him, all these powerful things happened. Jesus perfectly submitted himself to the Father, but the power didn't come because he was the Son of God apart from the Holy Spirit. Everything he did happened because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And he modeled for us how a man submits to God and the power of God flows. And so we can look at our life and say, wow, it was the Holy Spirit who done it. Then we looked at another message called, it was the Holy Spirit, your new best friend, so you don't have to go it alone. And Jesus said that, he no longer called them servants but friends. And then he says, now we're going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in this way, we looked at not resisting him. How many of you, when even in Paul's life, Jesus had to show up and said, why do you kick against the goats? You know, why do you resist? You know, and we talked about resisting the Holy Spirit and not to do that. And we talked about not grieving the Holy Spirit and not quenching the Holy Spirit. Then we looked last week, and the Holy Spirit is your secret superpower. And there's a capacity that the Holy Spirit gives us to be what we weren't. Now, how many find that to be true? You can do things that you could never do apart from the Holy Spirit's help. Have what you didn't have. And to do what you couldn't before. And now today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit as, are you ready? Command Central. Holy Spirit is Command Central. I want us to look at a verse right on the top of there. I've highlighted some things. There are so many things to talk about when it comes to the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you deal with one aspect of, like, dealing with discovering who Father God is, or the Holy Spirit, or Jesus the Son, every time you learn more about one, you learn more about the others. It's an amazing thing. It opens up to you. And as I've been studying the Holy Spirit, I've seen so much of the capacity of how he's perfectly submitted to Jesus as Jesus was submitted to the Father. And then he says, you'll be one as we are one. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but I'm not leaving you. I'm going to come by the Holy Spirit's empowerment, and you're going to be able to do even greater things than I've done. You'll be able to do. It's like, wow, you kidding me? And so we see this begin to be lived out again in the book of Acts. How Peter reaches in. This guy's, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but pulls that guy up. And he begins to dance 40 years, lame his whole life. 5,000 people came to the Lord that day because of the miracle that happened there. Powerful, powerful. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, Peter had been denying Jesus and running off. And now he's like moving in this. Why? Because of the capacitating, big word, of the Holy Spirit in his life. And we have that in our life. Now we're going to look at this particular verse in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 14 through 17, for all who, and I've highlighted these things, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, everybody just say led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Everybody say the spirit of adoption as sons. Isn't that wonderful? By whom we cry, Abba, Father. Every single person, I was thinking about this morning, every single person, it doesn't matter, really, truly, it doesn't matter what denominational background, it doesn't matter any of that stuff, what nation you're from, anything. If a person is a follower of Jesus, and they love him passionately, and they give place to him in every area of their life, and he's at work in their life, it doesn't matter where they're out on the planet, they're in your family, and you feel it. I'm talking about the people who don't. It makes it a little more difficult when you have all this religious gobbledygook and you have to jump all through all these religious hoops before you can actually find out. Are you hearing me about the love? But when people just love the Lord and the love of God is in their life, it's the most refreshing, wonderful bond. Spirit of adoption. We all cry. Everybody's going, Daddy God, Daddy God. Everybody has that spirit in them. Spirit of adoption. And then it says, the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Say that. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And there, now, right here it says that we're the children of God, but there are other times, and you'll sense, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but how the Holy Spirit will bear witness in your heart. One of the key things, you know, the Lord does whisper to us. The Bible teaches in John chapter 10 about I think in verse 7, it says, we're a sheep. He said, my sheep know my voice. They know me. They're led of me. And you can hear, and sometimes people hear a still small voice, that little audible direction. But ideally, the Lord likes it most when He can just, in His essence, guide you with His eyes or cause you to just know. Are you there with me? The knowing, being led. And when you're about to do something you shouldn't be doing, you just understand, I don't feel right about that. The Lord just fine-tunes His ability to lead you, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many of you have tried to do, knew it was the right thing to do and kept trying to do it, but the timing was wrong? And the Lord's going, it's not the time. But you don't know that. You say, how come this is not working? I'm not supposed to be doing this. And next thing you know, you find out it was the timing. That there's things that you just, we're led to do, we're led to be, we're led to at certain times to do certain things. Strategic God, isn't He? So we will look at this, and let's go ahead to bear witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And then this is the fun part. I'm saying this facetiously. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. This is the yikes part of the verse. How many of you are like, oh boy, suffering, hallelujah, I just can't wait. Well, we're going to walk through an adventure. Would you kind of jump on board with a little adventure with me? Paul and Silas are going out, journeying. And there, we'll get to the points, but I'll just walk through this time. They come into a little town named Lystra, and they see a young man who's a disciple of Jesus. And they take a liking to him and see a young person they can invest in. His name is Timothy. Now, Timothy's mother is Jewish. His father is Greek. And then that area, and that at that time, Paul couldn't get around the idea that he would not. They were still into a little bit of legalism in the Jewish community. And so they had to walk Timothy through a circumcision, which was unfortunate, I'm sure, to him. Titus, later, they didn't do that because he was in more of a Greek community, but because he was in a Jewish community. But Timothy got on board, and they went around to churches, and he became a part of this unique group. There are, when you have the spirit of adoption, you're in God's family. But then God assigns you to be in a family. You know, He puts you in, and there are seasons where at times when you're with certain people that He's put you with. Like, there's a lifelong thing here. I understand that some people come for a season, for a reason, and some for a lifetime. And there's something that happens. And Paul, when he took on this young man, this assignment, he wanted Timothy to be with him. They went around and preached. Now, I'm not sure on this next part if Timothy was still with him, but we, somewhere along the way, we begin to pick up Luke, because the passages change in Acts 16. And instead of saying they, it starts saying us. And every time it's us, I was taught in Bible college, whenever it says let us, they call those the let us patches. And that was where Luke was in the book of Acts. That was a fun way. I guess the professor enjoyed himself. And so they are out doing the will of God, seeking to preach the gospel. And they keep trying to go in a certain direction, trying. And the Bible actually says that the Holy Spirit forbid them to go into Asia. They couldn't go into Asia. So he gets to this other place. They come to this other place, Bithynia. And it says the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go there either. Now, I want you to just think about this. Paul and Silas are trying to go and preach the word, and the Holy Spirit's holding them back. No. And Paul, I'm sure, because he's just a go-getter, he's like, well, what's up? And then he has a vision. And the Holy Spirit shows him a man in the vision from Macedonia saying, come this way. And so they get on a boat and they leave and they head on to Macedonia. And the chief city there is Philippi. And Philippi has a Roman colony in it. Paul is a Roman citizen as well. He and Silas, I'm not sure who else is with them, now they're being led. They follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Don't go this way, but go this way. Now they're in town. They're hanging out. They get word somehow that there's somebody down, there's maybe a prayer meeting down at the river. So they start showing up at the river. So they're going down there every day. They're there for a while. Maybe a week or two goes by. They're sitting down next to the river, and these ladies come up. And these ladies come up, and they start sharing the gospel. One of them is a lady from Thyatira who's moved there, who sells purple goods. Her name is Lydia. She started the whole Women Wear Purple movement. Years ago, I'm pretty certain. I don't know. I don't have a biblical background for that, but I think so. Anyway, it says this. It says that the Lord opened her heart. And then it says, Paul preached the word. I wonder what the word was. I think it's this. Jesus died for your sins. And he was risen up to give you new life in him. It says when they preach the word, it's the word of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. So Lydia, her heart opens up. Her whole household hears this. They all want to come down and be baptized. Her whole household are baptized in the water, coming up out of the water. Change is happening. New life flowing into her life and her family. She begins to plead with Paul and Silas, would you guys please stay at our house? Wants to come and have a place for them to stay while they're in town. Guess what? They obeyed the Spirit of the Lord. And they've gotten a spiritual breakthrough. There's the fruit of their journey is beginning to happen. How many of you have experienced spiritual fruit from your labor in the Lord? And then what happens next is they're traveling to the river. And this other lady starts coming alongside of them. She's a slave girl. She's owned by some people. She has a spirit of divination. She's a fortune teller. Now, I don't know what she said. I know what she said, but I don't know how she said it. But it probably wasn't nice. Because she would said, these men are servants of the Most High God. Now, I don't really know the way she said it, but it started to really greatly annoy Paul. This goes on for several days. Could you imagine? Every time you're going down the river, this demonized person shows up. I think it's really interesting when they show up. It's after fruitfulness begins to break forth. How many of you, when you've had something of a God breakthrough, that you get a backlash of something coming into your life? And that's the same thing. It's a pattern right here. This lady shows up, starts saying this stuff. These are the men. And Paul, finally, I don't know what day it was. Probably a beautiful day out, nice breeze and everything. He just turns around and goes, okay, I've had enough. I'm tired of this lady's sarcastic, agitating spirit. So he turns and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the Bible says in that very hour, she was delivered. Now what happened is her owners were really ticked. In fact, they lost a hope of gain. They now couldn't make any more money because she was no longer had any spiritual, demonic spiritual capacity to tell fortunes. So they all come out and they're ripping on him, and the magistrates show up and they pull off Paul's clothes and Silas' clothes, and they actually order them to go be beaten with rods. They haven't even heard their side of the story. So they take him down to the jailer. They said, put these guys, the ruckus was, these are Jews who have customs that we don't accept their customs, and they're making an uproar in the city and they're coming against them. So Paul and Silas are now in the inner side of the prison with shackles on. And it's been a bad day. And I think the average believer might not like that physical abuse And we're going through it in different countries right now. Isn't that true? So this is how apropos that you go into a region and there's a reaction against the Spirit of the Lord. And this is happening in our world today. It's in the news. In fact, it's been going on a long time, but the Lord is bringing it out so everybody can see the satanic motive behind it. How many of you know Jesus is not into killing people? He's into giving them life. Amen. And he breathes life, brings life, raises up the dead, causes us to come alive in him. And so grateful when we see things like we pray, we add our prayer to the multitudes of people praying, and breakthroughs happen. Now what amazes me, this has always amazed me, how Paul can be beaten up with Silas, have bruises on their body, and they're sitting in the inner prison, locked up, and they got shackles in their feet. And it's midnight. Paul looks over at Silas, how you doing, buddy? Well, I had better days. How about you? Yeah, but could you imagine what would have happened if we'd gone to Asia? That could be rough. Glad the Lord sent us this way. We're going to get something good out of this. Yeah, Lydia's whole household saved. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Well, praise God. I just think I'm hurting a little bit, and I don't have any Advil with me, but sure would like to just worship a little bit. Let's do that. And they're in there singing. They're praying. Wow. I don't know what they're praying, but maybe it was, no matter how down I get, Jesus picks me up. No matter how low I go, Jesus picks me up. And then Silas, and they get a harmony going, you know. And it takes me higher. Higher, 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 no matter how down I get, Jesus lifts me up. I'm sure that was one of their songs. I'm really. And you're there singing, and it's got that little beat to it, you know, na 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 na. And that melody begins to waft up into the realm of atmosphere, goes up into the ionosphere and the stratosphere and the heavensphere. God's sitting on the throne. Mm-hmm. Starts humming along. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that too. Mm-hmm. That's Paul and Silas. Mm-hmm. Oh, listen to those harmonies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible says that heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. And the Lord began to tap his foot. And he takes me higher. And the Bible says a great earthquake happened just then, and all the prison doors opened up. God got a little happy just then. And all the chains fell off. Now the Roman guard, the jailer, they had a rule. If your prisoner gets away, you're executed. You know what he does? He looks and he sees that the prison doors are open, and he pulls out his own sword to kill himself. And Paul sees it. Just in the nick of time. And Paul says, no, 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 we're all in here. We're all still in here. Oh my, what a moment. What are you doing in here? Could you imagine? What are you guys doing in here? Well, our chains are off. And the doors are open. But we don't want you to kill yourself. We're not going anywhere. Wow. That does it. For some reason, that does it. He comes before them and says, what must I do to be saved? The gospel is preached through the earthquake. And somehow God takes a still small voice and penetrates this man with the kindness of Paul. And says, don't kill yourself. And he says, well, and he preached the word. And I think I know what it was. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And he's risen up and he paid the debt and now he can give you new life. And what happened? It was a long night. Starting around midnight, you got the big shakeup. He comes in. I think they all leave because the Bible, basically, he's baptized. Where did they go? I think they went all down to the river. It's a midnight swim. They go out and he washes their wounds. Some people think because he went and washed their wounds that maybe he became the pastor in Philippi. Because he gave his life to the Lord. His whole family gave his life to the Lord. And they all came down in the middle of the night. They washed Paul and Silas' wounds in the water. And then they said, can we be baptized? He baptizes them and they all come up. And now, daybreak, they're all back in jail. Whole place is saved. They're all in there. And the magistrates come. And the magistrates say, you could tell them they can leave. And Paul said, whoa, just a minute. You did all this to us publicly. They were a little unnerved because he told them he was a Roman citizen and they really blew it. You don't treat Roman citizens like this. And Paul said, you did this publicly. You come and release us publicly. And they came publicly and apologized. And they did leave the region, but not without planting a church. You had Lydia, probably over the women's ministry, children's, I don't know what she did. And they became the financial missionary sending group that Paul wrote the book of Philippians to that group, those people. And they came to the Lord, and they always would send financial help to fuel his journeys after that. So let's look at fill in the blank number one. When the Holy Spirit leads you, you will be placed in God's family. So way back at the beginning, there was a spiritual son. The Holy Spirit highlighted Timothy to Paul. He took him into the team and began to mentor him. He had a Greek father, but a Jewish mom. So he didn't have a godly man in his life and that could help mentor him in the ways of the Lord. If Timothy was there during all this, don't you think he got a lot out of it? Watching the attitude of a senior saint in the Lord go through all the hardship. Luke was there. We know Luke was there because he was saying, let us. And Luke, it's amazing to me. I just can't ever get over this. But the reality is that Luke, because he was a physician, was a personal physician to Paul. Some of their communications, because he was a doctor, end up having some of that language describing the body of Christ and things. But Luke was a physician. And he took care of Paul when he got beat up. Isn't that amazing? The Lord put a physician with his main guy. Awesome. And so these people are put into a team. And the Lord goes and assigns people to be in teams. He puts people in a family. Puts the solitary in family. And here it says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Just go ahead and thank the Lord you're put in a family. God puts you in a spiritual family where you're loved, cared for. Number two, when the Holy Spirit leads you, you will be led away from certain things. Isn't that the truth? You'll be led away. Now, in this particular way, we're using it a little differently than what's written in the Scripture there, because they were trying to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit was forbidding them. It says Jesus' will wasn't for them to head that direction. And they were trying to do the right thing. But sometimes we're coming out of stuff. How many of you, the Lord says, I want to lead you away from certain things. Certain things that maybe you've given yourself to in the past. We're coming up on communion here in a minute. It's amazing to me how one moment, just one moment with the Lord can actually break something. One moment in the Lord can free, not only refresh, but free, deliver, make a change, make a deep change. I've met people sitting over the bread and the cup, commiserating. Next thing you know, the Lord puts something inside of them that they get up and they're never the same again, ever. They walk out of that situation delivered from what was oppressing them. It's a marvelous thing to come to the table of the Lord and Him do that. And the Holy Spirit leads us away from certain things, doesn't He? Certain things that we have to deal with in our life. I like this verse in Isaiah 30, verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, the Lord likes to lead us. We have a whole bunch of stories in the room right now where we can tell, go on for hours talking about the ways that God has led us. And lastly, number three, when the Holy Spirit leads you, you will be led and empowered through. Everybody say hallelujah through. Through hard times. You'll be led and empowered through hard times. I like this verse here, Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. I just always have had a struggle with rejoicing in sufferings. But we rejoice in our sufferings. When you have a good attitude when you're going through a hard time, like Paul did, like Silas did, they begin to rejoice in the midst of the suffering, then God shakes things up. It says, when you rejoice in your sufferings, knowing that your suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. I love this. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Everybody say, through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We ignore sometimes the power source. How many of you have, but tell you what, those who are going to serve communion, come on up right quick. How many of you have seen, I was watching Circus Olay. Have you ever seen Circus Olay back when they were, come on up here on the platform right quick. Stand over there next to Gary. Go ahead and begin to, tell you what, right after this illustration, you go ahead and hand it to him and then we'll start. And let's pretend we got one of those crossbar. Like you lift it up, right? Okay, you remember how they got a person on there and they're jumping up in their flu and flips and the person looks incredibly talented and they are. Isn't that true? They're just so talented. They're jumping up in the air and they come down, they land on that. And I was watching this and I just thought, that person jumping up and down there, they're incredible. I don't know. And I thought to myself, I don't know how they land on that bar every time perfectly. And then I started watching the guys with the bar. And whenever she went up, they would move the bar right to where her foot was going to come. They were making it happen. And the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, that's me when you're jumping. I help you get up because they would do a little jump. And she'd jump up. And then right when you're coming down, they move it right where you catch you, just right where you're supposed to. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit always knows exactly where you're coming down to catch you. So you look better than you ever are. Isn't that the truth? I know all about this. Okay, let's go ahead and everybody receive. If you would be so kind to hold this in your hand until all are served. First, the bread. Jesus invites us to his table, and it's his family. It's his table, his family, his bread, his point of communion with us. And there are three things I want us to focus on. They're basically the three points. What can happen in a moment like this is the Holy Spirit can reassure something. That you belong in a family. Or maybe saying, this is your family. If he's doing that, and he's breathing on that in your heart, receive that. Number two, this is an amazing thing, and the blood adds to this when we take the cup in a minute. It helps us break and leave certain things that are not good for us. Because this represents the sinless one. This represents Jesus, the sinless one. It's amazing to me how sinless he is and how overcoming he is, and he invites us to live the way he did. And then, of course, we all jump in and say, yay, I'll do it. And we find out really fast we can't do anything. And then we find out him saying, I didn't do it on my own either. That I completely yielded to the Father, and I modeled for you a pattern, and I'll help you beyond what you're capable of by being it in you. And we don't seem to get that as well as we should. But at least once a month, when we come to the table, we can hear it again. Something's going to leave today that's bugged you a long time. I don't know what it is. You have a faith rising up in your spirit, don't you? You've wrestled for years. Today's your day. Wow. This is the Lord's doing it right now. He's just taking, I don't know what it is, but it's been a woolly booger. It's been like a monkey on your back. It's religion. I don't know what it is. But it's something that's really messed with you. And the Lord's saying, I'm taking that out of you today. Thank you, Lord. Let's just receive. The Holy Spirit is here active among us. He doesn't leave us. The Bible teaches, don't go out the way you came in. If you come in one way, don't go out another way. Let's pray in the Spirit, guys. Let's just pray and just give praise to the Lord right now. Just thank Him for the fullness of His Spirit overflowing. The Lord highlighted this precious daughter of His to me just now and said, I'm going to do it right now. What you're talking about, I'm going to do it right now. She's going to be free right here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just getting over here, I just sense the strength and power of the Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Spirit of God. The same Spirit that shook the prison and popped all the yokes and shackles is the same Spirit right here with you today doing this work. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just got to praise the Lord. I'm so happy you're here, but I just want to praise the Lord with you. Thank you for freedom, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now quickens us, makes us alive, and raises us up in Christ. It's like a big cloak, like a heaviness. It's gone, isn't it? Hallelujah. Often when we sense that kind of a thing, it's actually like a spirit of death. And you just fight against it, fight against it, and finally just give up. You don't have to fight against it anymore. There's freedom from whatever. How many of you know Jesus is life and He rules over the things that press in us, press against us? So let's lift up the bread, guys. I want to just tell you, Jesus is the Lord of life, life, life. He says, come and take. Of the covenant with me, and what was broken will be healed, what was bound will be freed, what is needy in you will be satisfied, because Jesus fills us up with the Holy Spirit's satisfying life. So we come to your table, Lord, and as we partake, I ask for a greater work in all of us of refreshing and freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and everybody partake, get served, and we'll partake together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, there are breakthrough moments. And what just happened in the room here was a breakthrough moment. And there's other of us receiving the life of the Spirit out of the power, the work of the Holy Spirit. If you have a sensitivity to the Lord, you know, by the way, during worship, every time I get around you, I just sense healing. And so I just go ahead and say it. I saw it again. I saw it earlier in the worship. I said, Lord, am I making this up? I said, no, you don't make that stuff up. So I just want to declare with you the healing in your body, and we're coming to the healing covenant. Thank you, Lord. I never, ever, ever want to dramatize anything in my humanness. I just want to be at peace and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. And let faith rise. It doesn't have to be based on human dynamism or emotionalism or anything like that. There's people that try to whip up stuff, but I just rather sit back and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. When you when you're my age now, you just appreciate it a whole lot more. The adequacy is of Him. Amen. Now, we all know this. We always come, and I like to address this. If there is something that you've opened the door to and you feel ashamed about it, no longer. Because the blood of Jesus washes away shame. Okay? It's done with. Now, here's the deal, though. You have to do something to get that. And it's this. And I was with a young man about 3 months ago, and I asked him the question. I said, okay, just imagine with me, right now, I want you to explain to me how Jesus died for you, and he was whipped and bruised and beaten for you, and let's pretend, let's go back there to that moment, let's get there right before the cross, and now Jesus is laying on the ground, and I want you to answer me something. And he says, okay. I said, tell me how that's not enough for you. Explain that to me. Explain, get, help me understand how what he did doesn't, is not enough for you. And man, his pride was broken. Something that just, he was, it wasn't a big emotional moment. He just saw it. And he humbled his heart after that. And the fruitfulness has come into their life like never before. He's running around telling everybody that. It's not from here, but it's been a very powerful thing. And here, if Jesus forgives you, then what are you doing? Your best thing is to come into agreement with what Jesus is doing. And say, I forgive me the way you forgive me. And that does it. I forgive everybody that's ever hurt me. And you'll keep working at that. But I forgive me by the power of this blood. And there's something that begins to unravel. Isn't that true? Let's lift it up and just praise the Lord for a moment. Lord, we thank you. And just go ahead and say the words. Jesus, I forgive everybody that's ever hurt me. And I bless them now in Jesus' name. And I forgive myself by the power of your blood. I thank you that you took all my shame upon yourself and were crucified on the cross. And it's not for me to carry anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's what he meant when he said, this is the blood of my covenant given for the forgiveness of sins. Let's go ahead and partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the nature of this forgiveness means that the debt has been removed. It means the debt is no longer there. It means that what you owed is no longer there. So don't act like it. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. And be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. I had to remember. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.